The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte. To J. Halford, Esquire. Dear Halford, when we were together last, you gave me a very particular and interesting account of the most remarkable occurrences of your early life, previous to our acquaintance, and then you requested a return of confidence from me. I know you like a long story, and are as great a stickler for particularities and circumstantial details as my grandmother, so I will not spare you. My own patience and leisure shall be my only limits. You must go back with me to the winter of 1826. My father, as you know, was a sort of gentleman farmer, and I, by his express desire, succeeded him in the same quiet occupation, not very willingly, for ambition urged me to higher aims, and self-conceit assured me that, in disregarding its voice, I was burying my talent in the earth and hiding my light under a bushel. Well, an honest and industrious farmer is one of the most useful members of society, and if I devote my talents to the cultivation of my farm and the improvement of agriculture in general, I shall thereby benefit not only my own immediate connections and dependents, but in some degree mankind at large. Hence, I shall not have lived in vain. With such reflections as these, I was endeavouring to console myself as I plodded home from the field one cold, damp, cloudy evening towards the close of January. On entering the parlour, I found my mother and my sister, Rose. "Take your tea," said Rose. "I've been to call on the Wilsons, and I must tell you an important piece of news I heard there. I've been bursting with it ever since. You know it was reported a month ago that somebody was going to take Wildfell Hall, and what do you think? It has actually been inhabited above a week, and we never knew." "Impossible," cried my mother. "It has indeed, and by a single lady." "Good gracious, my dear, the place is in ruins. She has had two or three rooms made habitable, and there she lives, all alone, except an old woman for a servant." "I can hardly believe it." "But you may believe it, for Jane Wilson has seen her. She went with her mother. She is called Mrs. Graham, and she is in mourning, not widow's weeds, but slightish mourning, and she is quite young, they say, not above 25 or 26, but so reserved. They tried all they could to find out who she was and where she came from and all about her, but neither could manage to elicit a single satisfactory answer, or even a casual remark or chance expression calculated to allay their curiosity or throw the faintest ray of light upon her history, circumstances, or connections. Moreover, she was barely civil to them, and evidently better pleased to say good-bye than how do you do. We should call sometime, Mama. It's only proper, you know." "Of course, my dear. Poor thing. How lonely she must feel." The next day, my mother and Rose hastened to pay their compliments to the fair recluse, and came back but little wiser than they went, though Rose favoured me with unending particulars respecting Mrs. Graham. Her appearance, manners, and dress, and the very furniture of the room she inhabited, were all set before me, with rather more clearness and precision than I cared to see them. But as I was not a very attentive listener, I could not repeat the description if I would. The next day was Saturday, and on Sunday everybody wondered whether or not the fair unknown would come to church. I confess I looked with some interest myself towards the old family pew, appertaining to Wildfell Hall, and there I beheld a tall, ladylike figure, clad in black. Her hair was raven black, and disposed in long, glossy ringlets. Her complexion was clear and pale. Her eyes I could not see, for being bent upon her prayer book, they were concealed by their drooping lids and long black lashes. But the brows above were expressive and well defined. The forehead was lofty and intellectual, the nose a perfect aquiline, and the features in general unexceptional, only there was a slight hollowness about the cheeks and eyes, and the lips, though finely formed, were a little too thin.